The Tea Party burst onto the political scene less than a decade ago. While best known for its opposition to President Obama's health plan and other conservative policy views, our next guest says we should also pay attention to its unique appeal to women in politics. Here's one of the icons of the Tea Party movement.
Here in Alaska, I always think of the mama grizzly bears that rise up on their hind legs when somebody's coming to attack their cubs, to do something adverse toward their cubs. You thought pit bulls were tough. Well, you don't want to mess with the mama grizzlies.
That was former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin talking about mama grizzlies and pit bulls in a political ad. She's become one of the most vocal members of the Tea Party, alongside other women like former Minnesota Representative Michelle Bachmann and Iowa Senator Joni Ernst. And our next guest says that the Tea Party has a notable number of women at its forefront and that it's uniquely inclusive to conservative women.
Melissa Deckman joins us now. She's the Louis L. Goldstein Professor of Public Affairs and chair of the political science department at Washington College. Her new book is out. It's called Tea Party Women, Mama Grizzlies, Grassroots Leaders, and the Changing Face of the American Right. Melissa, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me today. Glad to be here.
So how would you describe what the Tea Party has done to be more inclusive of women in the Republican Party, at least a certain segment of women who feel that that is a better home for them than the mainstream Republican Party?
Well, I think a couple factors help to explain why women have played such a prominent role within the Tea Party. One is social media. I think that many women who are very busy, many of them are working moms, and they care passionately about conservative causes, social media allows them a perfect platform to organize on their own terms and in their own time. I think and the second reason that the Tea Party has been a lot more appealing than, say, the traditional Republican Party is that the Republican Party is very hierarchical. So it often takes a long time and a lot of legwork to get really high up in the ranks of the GOP. And in fact, a lot of the women that I spoke to in my book, I interviewed lots of Tea Party activists at the local and state level, found their attempts to sort of get into the GOP, their attempts to be rebuffed. And so the Tea Party, I think, was a lot more welcoming. It's very diverse. There's lots of avenues to really form your own organization. And I think that many women found that appealing.
Now, there's been a lot of discussion about whether or not women are going to support Donald Trump in this election season. There's been his comments about people like Megyn Kelly and Carly Fiorina, and this has prompted a lot of discussion. So let's take a listen to a pro-Donald Trump political ad that played here in Wisconsin.
Sure, I get some grief when I say I'm voting for Donald Trump. But you know what? I want to protect my family. Paris, San Bernardino, and now Brussels. I want a president that will keep us safe. We need to control our borders and stop letting in dangerous people. Trump will do that.
So in particular, looking at this through the lens of a woman in the Tea Party, when you ask that question, will women support Donald Trump? You say, yes, in some cases, Donald Trump will appeal to these women. Why would you say that is?
Well, I think that Trump is playing what many social scientists have called the security mom's card, essentially. You know, when George W. Bush ran for re-election in 2004, terrorism in wake of 9/11 was a big theme of his campaign, and it really resonated with some conservative women. I think it maybe drove their voting decision. Certainly not all, but some conservative women. And so I think that Trump realizes that Republican women especially are quite concerned about terrorism. They're concerned about immigration. And so I think he's pretty smartly appealing to that demographic. The larger question is whether or not that approach will work with women voters nationally. I'm a little more dubious on that, but it's certainly for many conservative women who consider themselves part of the Tea Party or certainly right-wing, I think that talking about terrorism and security concerns is probably a potentially politically winning issue.
So is this what you would call that mama grizzly that argument point? Now, Sarah Palin introduced us to this, and she's probably the most famous Tea Party woman and politician, and she has used this metaphor about the mama grizzly. What is she tapping into, and Donald Trump there, a little more specifically about how women may feel that they're protecting their families?
Right. You know, the Mama Grizzly ad that you referenced earlier was part of the reason I wanted to write this book, because I think the Mama Grizzly metaphor is so interesting and compelling. And a lot of my book really talks about these women who, in their own words, talk about why they believe conservative policies are best suited to protect American families. I think that Donald Trump, of course, is talking about terrorism as an issue of protection. But what I find in my research is that a lot of these Tea Party women, at least, believe that economic policies are important for protecting families. So they believe that cutting taxes, for example, will help families to keep more of their income, that families can better make their own choices rather than having a big, quote-unquote, federal government, an out-of-control nanny state, as the words that Sarah Palin would use, to help families, you know, better make those decisions for themselves. And so that Mama Grizzly sort of primal sort of call to conservative moms to get involved in politics, I think, is really apt. And I think it's a powerful metaphor for at least some women in the Tea Party.
So is this something that just works with some women in the Tea Party, or does it also work with men in the Tea Party? Is there a Papa Grizzly?
Is there a Papa Grizzly? That's a really good question. You know, interesting enough, when I looked at data comparing Tea Party women and Tea Party men, they really had very similar policy stances in lots of ways. And so I would argue perhaps it works with Papa Grizzlies. But I think with women in particular, when you talk about their children, there's sort of a history in right-wing politics in the 20th century. You look at someone like Phyllis Schlafly. And so there have been sort of earlier versions of Mama Grizzlies. But I do think that sometimes women need a little bit more oomph to get a little bit more encouragement, I think, to get involved in politics, and appealing to them as mothers is one way to do that.
We're talking with Melissa Deckman right now. She's the author of the new book, Tea Party Women, Mama Grizzlies, Grassroots Leaders, and the Changing Face of the American Right. She's also a professor in the political science department at Washington College. And Melissa, looking at feminism here, does that factor into how Tea Party women think about themselves as political actors, and also how they think about, let's say, the candidacy of Donald Trump? Where does feminism fit in?
Yeah, that's a good question. In fact, I talk a lot about that in the book. And it seems as though one of the things that Sarah Palin, getting back to her, has done in this movement is she actually has described herself as a conservative feminism. And I think the term feminism is one that is very loaded. Lots of Americans, whether on the left and the right, I think are somewhat ambivalent about the term. But I do think that she was willing to say, look, you know, women are just as capable as men in getting involved in politics. And so a lot of conservative women seem willing to embrace the term a little bit more. Some, but not all. I think for some conservative women activists, feminism is too far linked to leftist politics, to abortion rights. And clearly, many women in the Tea Party tend to be more pro-life and they tend to be more pro-choice on the abortion issue. But I do think you see some conservative women willing to embrace the term feminism if they can define it on their own. So for many Tea Party women, for example, they decry the growth of government, the federal government in particular, because it makes women dependent on the state. It makes women into victims. And so they, in fact, have lots of criticism toward liberal feminists, but they say that the term feminism is really about being independent and women taking care of themselves. So in that respect, I think there is room for at least some of these women to think of themselves as feminists.
So with that, I mean, maybe it's not at the top of their list about what's important. Maybe it's more this family protection thing and some other issues. But by that definition, do you think that these women could consider themselves feminists and also believe that supporting Donald Trump would be consistent with that?
You know, that's a really good question. And I think it's really important to recognize that much like lots of American women, Tea Party women, one, aren't politically monolithic on some things. And when it comes to Donald Trump, they certainly aren't politically monolithic. So, for example, in my book, I interview Katrina Pearson, who started a Tea Party in Dallas, Texas. She now serves as Trump's national spokeswoman. And, of course, Sarah Palin was the first really prominent Republican to endorse Donald Trump way back earlier in the spring. And so for those women, I think, and for some people in the Tea Party, Donald Trump is appealing because he's willing to break the rules. He's willing to talk about American exceptionalism in certain ways that other candidates maybe weren't as good on that issue. Other Tea Party women, however, for example, Jenny Beth Martin, who founded an organization called Tea Party Patriots, has been pretty critical of Donald Trump because many authentic, I think, grassroots conservatives believe that Trump really is not a true conservative. And so they have pause about things like his attitudes on Social Security, for example. And so I think it depends on what issues you prioritize within the movement, whether you think that whether these women are willing to support someone like Donald Trump. So he's polarizing even within the Tea Party, as well as America, I think, more generally.
So we've been talking a little bit about what Tea Party women may believe in, although it's not a monolith, as you said, but what do we know about who they are in terms of age and geographic locus and also race?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's important to point out that relatively few American women consider themselves part of the Tea Party. So, for example, when I did my research for the book, I was using data from 2012. Roughly 1 in 10 American women identify themselves as part of the Tea Party. Of those women, they are overwhelmingly white. So 90% are white Americans. They tend to be more religious than most Americans and very conservative in their theology. But they tend to be also very, I think, middle class in terms of their orientation. They certainly are drawn from the ranks of the white working class. We hear a lot about the white working class and how they're sort of more willing to support Donald Trump in this election cycle. But among the activists that I interviewed, they're pretty solidly middle class and, in fact, I think have higher levels of education than you would expect. In fact, I think because they have work experience, because they have high levels of education, they're really able to sort of organize pretty effectively within the Tea Party.
We're talking with Melissa Deckman right now from Washington College. She's got a new book out as of this Tuesday. It's called Tea Party Women, Mama Grizzlies, Grassroots Leaders, and the Changing Face of the American Right.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you think mainstream political parties have done a good job of including women? Are movements like the Tea Party doing a better job of bringing women to the table, to the front of the debate as organizers and movement leaders? If you are a Tea Party supporter yourself, tell us what appeals to you. If you're a woman in the Tea Party, you consider yourself aligned with the Tea Party, we'd love to hear from you. And do Donald Trump's policies line up with the Tea Party goals, ideologies on security, taxes, and more? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We're picking up our conversation now with Melissa Deckman. She's the author of the new book, Tea Party Women, Mama Grizzlies, Grassroots Leaders, and the Changing Face of the American Right.
And we want to hear from you on this. Do you see certain political issues as family issues, things like maybe gun rights, the budget deficit, national security? Call now at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. And taking this a little more broadly, if you're a conservative voter, you're a woman, what do you think about voting for Donald Trump? Do you see feminism factoring into this? Or do you think that you're not a single issue voter, you're going to look at some of these bigger issues and vote that way? Or do you see that all as part and parcel, maybe of the same thing? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. And we'll take our first call now. We've got Brett on the line in Green Bay. Brett, hi.
How you doing?
Good, thanks.
I just want to say I think moms or women should look at more than just terrorism as one threat to their children. I mean, there's other things that they could be looking at, that their children's future with the environment. I mean, we saw what happened with George Bush in 2000 when he wanted to claim terrorism is the biggest threat, and look what happened. I think he made us less safe. So, you know, there's just other things like the environment and global warming, which, you know, I don't think the Tea Party really cares about. And that's all I got to say.
Brad, thanks for the call. And what about that, Melissa? I mean, do you think some conservative women, maybe in the Tea Party, be looking less at closed borders and more at some of these other threats? Why are some so resonant with this group that we're talking about?
Well, I think that Donald Trump is sort of resonating with at least some people in the Tea Party, and certainly with a large group of more conservative Americans, because of all the sort of cultural and economic changes that are happening. I think the caller had a good point. You know, why aren't we talking about things like the environment as a means to protecting our environment, as a means for protecting families? Well, that argument is made by many groups on the left wing of the spectrum. And I found when I talked to people in the Tea Party about the environment, they tend to think that environmental concerns are completely overblown, that climate change really isn't an important issue, or that the science isn't really as sound. Of course, most scientists would disagree with that interpretation, but I think because many people on the right sort of look at it as not as important, it really isn't part and parcel of what their main concerns are. I think the main concerns of people in the Tea Party and people on the right wing of the spectrum are really about security and about changing cultural atmosphere we find ourselves in.
Do you think that this has been linked to, as you said, more anxiety about the future in general in the Republican Party? Do you think there is that anxiety across the aisle among Democrats?
Well, I think there's anxiety, but I think the anxiety takes shape in different ways. So I think that for many Democratic voters, they're anxious about certainly the economy, but I think they're anxious about things like discrimination. And so they think that government has a role to play in alleviating those sorts of concerns. Whereas someone on the right, someone in the Tea Party, would say that discrimination perhaps might be there, but it isn't nearly as important as sort of our fiscal state and the growth of government. Many people in the Tea Party believe that government has just simply gotten too big and it's usurped personal responsibility. And so they would like to see, frankly, a much smaller size and scope of government. People on the left, however, would counter that you have things like discrimination, you have structural barriers in society, and that you need sort of a forceful government to take care of those. And so it's a very different philosophical approach to government on both of those sides.
Melissa Deckman is with us right now. She's a political scientist, and she has a new book out called Tea Party Women. And Melissa, going back to some of the inclusivity you talk about among Tea Party women and this group being inclusive of women, tell us a little bit about what some of the affiliate groups are, maybe like Tea Party Patriots and also the group Smart Girls Politics. What are they doing to not only get women involved in politics, but also to get women to run for office?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a really interesting question. So with Smart Girl Politics, it was one of the groups that I profiled that was really developed in wake of the Tea Party movement after Obama's election. So Smart Girl Politics is a social media platform, an organization trying to get really conservative women to care about politics, to get more invested in politics, and to really do it in a way that targets women specifically. Tea Party Patriots, by contrast, I think it's sort of ironic, the leadership of Tea Party Patriots is largely made up of women, but they really aren't a gendered organization per se. I think that their appeals are more broadly about fiscal conservatism and immigration and things like that. But Smart Girl Politics groups like a Sisterhood of Mommy Patriots I talk about, these are groups that really kind of form to target women in particular who may not have felt, conservative women who may not have felt that there was sort of a group that spoke to their needs. And so I think that that's really sort of the divide you see in the Tea Party, targeting women and trying to get them more involved and being more inclusive in that way.
Do you think the mainstream Republican Party is aware of these strands that are maybe catering more to women and being mindful that maybe they want to do things to bring them back into the fold of mainstream Republicanism or conservatives?
No, I think absolutely. And in fact, one of the things that I noticed in my research was that I would hear certain phrases or certain ideas being sort of brought up by these Tea Party women activists, and then they would kind of trickle down into the language of many sort of more mainstream Republican Party activists. So in talking about issues such as issues such as like family leave or the minimum wage, a lot of conservatives disapprove of those sorts of policies on principle because they believe, again, that the federal government should not be dealing with those sorts of concerns. That's really the concerns of private industry. But, you know, you had Tea Party women who would kind of come up with gendered rationales as to why those policies are good for families and for women. And then I'd see someone like Kathy McMorris Rodgers, who's probably the highest-ranking Republican woman in Congress, using similar sorts of language there. Or, for example, in talking about guns, that's another big issue that came about in the Tea Party because, of course, conservatives are concerned about the Second Amendment. And so rhetoric that I'd see Tea Party women use or conservative women talking about the need for guns to protect their families, you will see in the Republican Party and groups like that. So I think there is an effort, certainly, by the GOP to appeal to these sorts of women. The divide, however, is that I think for many true, authentic conservatives, very devout conservatives, they look at the Republican Party as part of the problem, as the establishment. You see this being played out now, of course, in the Republican presidential primary system. But you also, I saw that, you know, 3 or 4 years ago when I was talking to these Tea Party women, they felt that the mainstream party was really just, frankly, not conservative enough. But certainly, I do see the GOP trying to reach out to these women, definitely.
How important do you think that these women in particular, and also women in general, are going to be in this coming election?
Well, you know, women, there are more women voters, and women turn out at higher rates than men. And so I think that's why many of us spend so much time talking about the women's vote. And I think for any Republican, including Donald Trump, to be successful, he's really got to minimize the gender gap in American politics. really since Ronald Reagan, women tend to vote more Democratic and men tend to vote more Republican. And why George W. Bush was successful in 2004 when he was reelected, in 2000, he was able to sort of minimize the loss of women voters. And so Trump has got to minimize the loss of women voters again in 2016 come November. The jury is still out. I think his language toward women certainly isn't helping his cause, but we'll have to see how he does in the fall.
Any predictions on if he's going to be successful, just briefly as we wrap up?
I predict that he's going to have a hard time. I think at this point it's still Hillary Clinton's race to lose come November. But, you know, we've consistently underestimated Donald Trump as a candidate for the past year. And now today, of course, is the day that he was able to sew up all the delegates he needed to secure the Republican nomination. So, you know, I think it could happen. I still think he's the underdog going into the fall.
Melissa, thank you so much for joining us today.
It was a lot of fun. Thank you.
That was Melissa Deckman. She is the Louis Goldstein Professor of Public Affairs and Chair of the Political Science Department at Washington College. Now, we've been talking about her new book. It just came out on Tuesday, and it's called Tea Party Women, Mama Grizzlies, Grassroots Leaders, and the Changing Face of the American Right. You can share your comments about that and more over on the Central Time Facebook page.